So I suspect that's the direction.
If you look at that, our original estimate was 951 million. Right. So if this, the numbers don't change much, they're looking at 927 million. So the grand total would be less than what we promised way back.
And the reason for that is by paying more of your principal back now, because you have more availability of cash to pay now, you're reducing your total cumulative interest payments. Just like if you had a 15-year mortgage instead of a 30-year mortgage, right? You're actually going to, in the long run, pay a lot less, but you're paying more in your monthly payments now.
Yeah.
So but in the long run, you're paying a lot less.
They will decide whether they want. You know, we were originally trying to stay at $44 per 100. So they would decide: do they want to go $50 or $60? 60 is the max.
Is that policy or is that set by the voter initiative?
It's not set. It was an internal policy. The voter initiative or law is 60 for a unified school district.
The statutory approval is 60.
Right, right.
It's the policy. 44 was expectation.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that was exactly the words that were used. It's expected that the debt service would not use more than $44 per 100,000.
Okay. The max cap is $60 per 100.
Yeah. Did you get any feedback from
the mailer?
Mailer.
I guess all positive, you know, and from
the
different groups.
How many were sent out? Excuse me, because we didn't receive one at my house. I saw from someone else showed me.
I think it was sent to the, if you had a child in the district,
No, it was voters, I believe.
I thought the plan was to send it to every taxpayer,
every taxpayer
in the district.
Because only 18% of the taxpayer voters have kids.
Right.
So, it was sent out to, I think, everybody within our district. So whether you didn't get one, I don't know how to answer that.
Okay, all right.
But the goal was, I believe, to send it out to every person. Now, what they do is they do it in bulk. And if you get one little thing wrong in the bulk, the post office does one of these or sends it back to us. So we had a company do it, and they're very reasonable in cost, but
because I saw it from a neighbor, but I didn't get one in my house.
It could have been.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get one.
A problem.
You didn't get one either.
Yeah. You know, oftentimes what they do if you hire a third party is they'll just go off the tax assessor's roll, you know, the APN number, because that's how it's assessed.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, we're on that roll.
Yeah. You get your tax bill, okay?
Yeah, right.
You know, oftentimes.
You want me to work on your tax bill? Maybe that.
Yeah.
Get it
no,
side
I'm very
set,
happy with
set
it
to somebody else.
Considering where we came from, very happy with it.
Yeah, I hear in other states it's breathtaking what some people pay
well,
for.
Well, Illinois quadruple your tax bill for Illinois.
Yeah.
That's what it is, real estate tax.
Yes. I'm in Westchester County, New York.
Yeah,
yeah
it's three times what
York,
we pay here
Island.
In many of the
yeah.
states.
So
yeah.
Prop 13 should be considered a sacred cow, not let that move.
Okay, well, that's all I have. Like I said, it's 4 to 6 down at the district office if you want to come see the presentation. We're also, as a part of the presentation, Kari will kind of update some of the old projects and where we are and estimates and what we think we can do. And then the board, if they decide to go with this and see how much, then it would be involved later in prioritizing what would come first. What do we want to do? Yes?
Follow-up question on the mailer. So what is our requirement, I forget, that we make it available to the public, and not necessarily that every member of the public be delivered a hand-delivered copy, but that our communication to the public be mailed out, available, and be posted? Is there any other minimum requirements? I guess my question ultimately is, have we met at least the minimum requirements for notifying the public with our mail?
There is no
right. The mailer was just something that the board took on itself. They had there's no obligation for the board to do that. Now, you know, the process for issuing Series C bonds has very specific notification requirements.
Right.
And that's where the district is going to have to do the publishing, the notifications, and that's that two-step process.
Right.
So it has to be done in two board meetings.
Board meetings. And,
right.
All right. So then I guess I forget, I apologize, but I guess our minimum requirement is that we produce the audit.
Are you talking your group?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, what I'm going to, because it ties into the next item.
I apologize for jumping ahead.
So maybe we can address that then, because I have some material that I think will help us address that.
So I'm finished, but if you can make, I know everybody, a lot of people work and can't make, but at 4 to 6, if you can make that, it's helpful for you. We will provide the PowerPoint copies to you if you can't make it. And the discussion of the projects, that'll be an ongoing thing. It's not like done anything that particular night. We'll be discussing those, and it's going to take a lot of research and so forth, and seeing if this is how much money we have to spend, how are we going to best spend it across the district? So that's what the board will be spending plenty of time on.
Before we go too far, I think it's important to say, I know that we've got, for this is going back to staff reports primarily, for this campus, we're tearing out a lot of the parking lot out front that we've already constructed. So I think it's important, as community members, you might hear that question coming from the community, and as representatives, you might need the answer. So, I mean, we've already discussed parking in the fields and moving stuff around is why this parking lot that we've already constructed is being torn out. So we've already heard some buzz around the community, so I just want to make sure you all know the answer.
Why are you wasting
just in
money?
Case, just in case people come to you and ask the questions. So I meant to say that during the staff report.
I do have one handout. I produced this. I'm going to give this to my board because I think us as just lay people misunderstand what bonds are. So I produced an example. I'd like to bounce it off you and see if it makes sense to you. What bonds really are like for public entities here. Hang on. And I think it gets misunderstood that it's like a car loan or a house loan. You know, we're used to getting a 30-year house loan or a 5-year car loan, and you make you borrow. Let's say in a 5-year car loan, you borrow $25,000 over 5 years. And you pay interest and you pay a little bit of the principal, and by the time you make your last payment, it's all over. And then the last payments, there's more principal than interest. Bonds are very different. Bonds are like taking the 25-year car loan, paying the interest, and then making a balloon payment for the $25,000 on the fifth year. So I produced this just as an example. If we were to sell, and bonds are sold in $5,000 increments. So if we'd never sell $50,000 worth of bonds, that'd be too small to deal with. But in this example, if we had sold 10 $5,000 bonds with different maturity rates, because sometimes they'll have a 1-year maturity rate, a 2-year maturity rate, all the way up to a 30 or 40-year maturity rate. So in this example, I wanted to show, okay, if we sold 10 bonds, one had a 1-year maturity date, one had a 2-year maturity date, all the way up to 10. And the chart shows that, okay, the first year with a half, and the interest rates I made up out of thin air, but a 0.5% interest rate, you'd pay $25 on the interest, and then you'd pay the $5,000 off at the end of the year. On the other bonds, you'd just be paying the interest. So your total payment is $5,823 in that 1 year. And what finance advisor does, he says, he looks at what can we afford per year. Okay, if I can afford $5,800, he sells the bonds to fit the $5,800 payment. Now, if he sees your income growing, he will sell different combinations of bonds to fit your income as your income grows over a period of 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, or 40, 30 years, and 40 years. So this is an example of how it would work, and you say on a $50,000 worth of bonds sold in 10 years, we'd pay $5,600 in interest, and then the $50,000 paid off in each one of those years. So I just wanted to bounce it off, see if this makes sense to you, as a lay person. Does this make sense what a municipal bond looks like and how we sell them? We don't pay off the principal a little bit every year as we go along. So just look at it. Let me know. I'm interested to know what your perspective is, and Gene, your perspective, since you work in this field. Does this explain this to the layperson of what bonds look like and how
it's simplified. But in terms of basically describing serial bonds, mm-hmm. It's a pretty good description of a serial bond, where you pay interest usually twice a year, mm-hmm. And you have maturities that are set, you know, 1, 2, 3 serial bonds can go out to like 15, 20 years. And like Gary said, you have a maturity. You have a bond, a series of bonds that mature in 1 year, some of them mature in 2, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So they're each little piece of it's like a balloon payment. But all of those that are outstanding are paying interest You know, so you have the 10-year serial bonds that are paying interest for 10 years. You have the 1-year serial bond that's paying interest just for that 1 year. So you have to look at, and you know, that whole structure. Way out there, you don't, it's set up a little bit differently. The term bonds, like a, you might have a term bond that's a 30-year maturity, but then you set up a sinking fund so that like from year 25 to year 30, you don't issue 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, you issue 30, and then every year you have a sinking fund that redeems a portion of those bonds in the year 26, 27, 28, 29. So you have some bonds that are maturing, and those generally are just done by random selection, which of those 30-year bonds get redeemed early.
No balloon payments.
Yeah, in the 30th year you would have, but it's you know, sort of split, so you amortize it over the whatever the term period is, 26 to 30 or 27. Yeah. Depends on the market. You know, where's the market? Where's the appetite? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the financial advisor, what they do is they come back and they advise the district, well, there's a really strong demand in the 5 to 10 year area. You aren't going to sell anything in the 1 to 3 right now, or very little. So that's the role of the financial advisors, to gauge the market. Where is the interest along what we call the yield curve? Mm-hmm.
And then they estimate this, and then they put it out for a bit to see if they get buyers. And sometimes they'll sell a lot of this, have more demand, like you said, for the 10 or 15 or 20, and very little for the 3 or 4, and then they just shift it around and say, okay, shifting around, does it fit within your annual income amounts that you can spend on this to make your bond payments? And so they tweak it and tweak it, and so they have conference calls and bids and so forth. I've sat in on those. It's a very long process. The interest rates, as you can see, differ on a short-term bond versus a long-term bond. They may say, okay, your average payment is 5.35%. Well, it's combined with a half percent bond, or you know, in the young ones, and maybe a 6.5% on a 30-year bond. So that's kind of how we deal in the municipality bond market. And as a layperson, and I'm a little less than a layperson, but this is how I see it. And it took me a while to understand this. You know, when I first got in there and started selling, you know, dealing with sold bonds about 20 years ago. So. I just did this, you know, for the board so they'd understand it, because I think there's a misconception we gradually pay off our
right.
bonds every
and what you sort of alluded to it, but there's the concept that's called a true interest coupon or true interest cost, TIC, and that's sort of the blended average interest rate across the whole transaction. Because you see, if you issue, you know, $10 million of one-year coupons, one-year bonds at a 0.5%, and you issue $50 million 10 years at 3%, you know, your weighted average cost is certainly going to be more than 0.5%. Mm-hmm. So the true interest cost is sort of that blended, the weighted average coupon across all of the bonds that were issued. And you see that there's generally an upward sloping yield curve. You know, the bonds that mature early are going to have a lower interest cost. The bonds that mature longer are going to have a higher interest cost. And of course, CABs, you know, are generally long-term bonds, and you aren't paying any interest, so the interest is accruing, so your total interest cost on CABs is even compounded. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the concerns about CABs.
I think this is a good example for, again, serial bonds, simple, you know, mm-hmm. we're doing more complex types of bonds.
A lot of our bonds are like this, though.
But what happens is you take a simple bond like this, you package it up with a CAB, 40-year bond, and you package it up, and there's a accretive interest rate of not just 0.5% for that 1-year bond, but it's equivalent to 13% or, you know, 8% type
whatever.
Of whatever the market will yield. Mm-hmm. And this, to a layperson, is going to confuse them, I think, more than what we're
actually
trying to do.
The one caution I would say is, to be very clear, this represents, you know, the typical serial bond, which is generally the 1 to 10 year areas, mm-hmm. the serial bonds, 1 to 15, 1 to mm-hmm. 20. Term bonds are a little bit different. There's a little bit different structure, but still pretty straightforward. CABs are, a whole another bag in terms of complexity. I still, from my experience, CABs have a role. They have been abused by some. They, you know, they've been excessively used in some cases, and they are expensive. They're a tool to manage your debt maturity schedules, and you know, if you look at it in an overall package. AB 182 has put some significant constraints on the use of cabs going forward. But, you know, just given the economics and given funding from the state, school districts really don't have much of a choice, you know, but to use what tools
the
are available
to
generate cash.
The new restrictions are a maximum of 4-to-1 on the total package. So it's not the individual bond, but the total. Maximum, I think, of 8% interest, which someday they may have to change if we ever ran into the 70s again, like where it went off the chart. They did put in a clause that has to be callable, which adds about 0.5% cost to it. And the only time you're going to call it is if the interest rates go down below what you just sold it. And I'm just not
crazy
seeing
right
that going to happen, you know. So they did put it in, and it probably cost us money by doing it, but it was a nervous reaction that they had. So that's kind of what we're working in, and you'll see the combinations that they're offering at this presentation. It's no different than the last presentation we had several months ago, but that's kind of what I wanted to throw out to you, just to see what if this makes sense to you, to help explain it to, you know,
the one thing
other people you might talk to.
One thing you might do, Terry, because two of the members here present said they didn't get that mailer, and you know, one of the things that we promoted was we wanted to be sure that the message was transparent, you know, that there was a real transparent process to get out to the community.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you can check with whoever did the mailing and say, you know, look, two people, there's a sample, you know, 2 out of 10 people did not get it.
Okay. Cecilia, you'll follow up.
Could you go over a little bit more about the tax exemption loss? Is this something that's potentially retroactive?
No, what I heard is I think when you're really up there on the high income levels, where they put in some laws about, okay, once you get to this point, you're going to pay taxes regardless. And I think you're a major income player.
Sort of an AMT type.
Yeah, kind of. I heard that. I don't know. I'm not in that game, so that's not my problem personally. But I heard that in this particular call.
Right. I first heard about it last week in Valdecitos Water District.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about their reserve policy, and they were mentioning that the federal government had some requirement to indicate what would happen if your reserves, which are in tax-exempt securities, suddenly disappears. And that was rather disturbing.
I'm not sure. If the Valdecitos is a government agency, they don't pay taxes.
No, I think I think that context sounds like it would be in, if they had muni bonds in their reserve portfolio.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And they lost the tax exemption on those investments.
Right.
What would the impact on the district be? I think that's the context.
Yeah.
That
well,
understand.
At least the market value would change.
Yeah. If they had to resell them. Yeah.
And then your asset valuation would.
That's true.
But you know. This is not to say it couldn't happen, but any changes that have historically happened to municipal bond issuance have happened prospectively. They generally don't make changes that affect the entire municipal market retroactively.
Yeah.
So, you know, to think of making a retroactive change like that to just totally take away the tax exemption,
Yeah,
you know, there's talk about changing that, about reducing it, about maybe even, but I can't see that happening retroactively.
And this call said there's a big demand for munis right now.
Yeah.
So far it hasn't hit them, but you know, you just never know what the future is. You know, they've talked
high
about
high quality munis.
Yeah.
Detroit, I don't think he's up there.
Okay, and moving on to 10 then. So the board is going to have their meeting with the auditor on February 10th. What I have here,
did you get one?
Darius, this is something he passed around a few months ago, and it started. He prepared this when the committee was looking at preparing last year's report, and I think it's a very good summation of the responsibilities of the COC in terms of what we should be looking at, what our authority is. So I think, David, this addresses some of your questions, right? The annual report, a critical element of that is going to be reviewing the audits and commenting on the audits. It's going to be talking about the results of our tours, the results of the reports we've been getting from staff. So what I would recommend is that we think about scheduling a special meeting of the COC after February 10th, after the audit committee, after the auditors have presented their report to the board. We've had a chance to review the audit report, get our comments to staff, and then think about what topics we want in our annual report. A key element of that, as I said, is going to be the results of the audit and what we think of the audit. But what else? What other topics do we think are appropriate for our annual report? And again, I think Darius has done a pretty good job of sort of summarizing the kinds of things that need to be in there. It's my boy's looking for his dinner. So if we can take a look at this, think about topics for our annual report. Think about questions, review the audit report. What questions do we have about the audit report? And then let's think about a time for the meeting after February 10th. I don't know, Cecilia, if you have some ideas in terms of availability or conflicts with space.
We can use the business services conference room on the 13th. The 18th and 20th are also available. So depending on your schedules.
And what days of the week are those?
The 13th is a Thursday. The 18th is a Tuesday. Gary can't do the 20th, though, so that won't work.
Okay.
It'll be the second Tuesday.
The 13th is the second, is it?
Second Thursday, and the 18th is the third Tuesday.
So that would be the same night as... No, that isn't the same night as the city council.
Tuesday?
Yeah, they have it. I think the second and fourth.
We could do the...
Second and fourth, then we're okay, because the 18th would be right in the middle.
Right. The 18th is the third Tuesday.
It sounds like there's sort of a movement towards the 18th. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So let's schedule our next special COC meeting for the 18th. The focus of that will be to review the audit, be sure we're okay, button up whatever questions we have after the presentation to the board, and also to formalize our thoughts for the annual report.
Gary, was there a second report, like a performance audit?
Yes.
It was within the audit.
Yeah.
There's two parts of the audit.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
So it's in that
right.
audit.
Right. There are the two audits that we are tasked with opining on, the performance audit and the financial audit.
Okay.
Same time?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Does that work for everybody? Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'll go ahead and schedule that.
Okay. Any other questions? Any thoughts about that special meeting? Other thoughts?
Ideas? Cecilia, the board meeting, is it in the regular board room or is it in one of the other rooms?
No, it's a regular board.
Regular board meeting.
Uh-huh.
So this will be back at 2:50.
Mm-hmm. Right. At the neck rack.
Yes.
Okay.
At 4 o'clock.
Okay, so we talked about 10 and 11 together. Any other comments? I do have one on the web page. Actually, the button to the open door mailer appears to be broken.
Okay.
So I don't know if you can pass
the open
on
door
to.
Mailer.
Right. On the COC web page.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll look at that. We'll test drive it and see if it's...
Yeah, when I did it today, it just went off to the Ethernet.
question, now that the committee has received the audit, will it be up on the website?
No. not until it's presented to the board.
Oh, that's right. So the board will adopt the annual audit when?
On February 10th.
February 10th.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then it'll be permanently on your site, in our site. So.
Okay. Any other comments, questions from board members, council, other committee members? Okay. Let's adjourn the meeting. I have to say, the facilities are great. You know, it's really nice getting to this point. Really, really great.
Kathy's hung in through retirement to finish this out.
Yay, Kathy.
It's been my pleasure. The biggest thing was last Tuesday with the staff and the students, and they all really appreciate all the work that this community has done to support them. So all your work is definitely worthwhile. We'll watch those test scores keep going up.
Well, I think this is going to be the talk of the education community.
Yes.